Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I'm teaching a brand new series, first time I've ever taught it on television, talking about the power of hope. And the first 2 days has been kind of an introduction, talking about how powerful hope is, how necessary it is. And then yesterday, I began to start making a connection between hope and your imagination. Now, when I saw this connection between your imagination and hope, it really helped me to, in a sense, get a handle on hope and be able to understand what it is and how to use it. So I want to continue to talk about that. There are a number of scriptures in the Word of God that talk about your imagination. And I began to read these scriptures, and I was really impacted about how powerful our imagination is. For instance, let me just share this with you. The Hebrew word used in the Old Testament for imagination is yetzer. Well, I've looked in the Strong's and the Young's Analytical, a number of different of these Greek and Hebrew lexicons, and sometimes it's spelled Y-E-T-S-E-R. Other times it's spelled Y-E-S-E-R. I don't know exactly which it is, but here's what it means. It literally means a form or figuratively conception. Now, this is really, really important. And let me just make some statements, and then I'll go to some scriptures to try and verify it. But I believe that your imagination is the part of you that conceives things. Just like, you know, in a woman's body, she has a womb where she has to conceive a child, and that's where it's incubated and that's where it's nurtured. Well, likewise, your imagination is where you conceive the things of God and give birth to it. If there is no imagination, there is no conception. Now, that is really, really important. And when you look at some of the scriptures about imagination, you can see this linkage here. Like, for instance, in Genesis chapter 11, this is talking about the days right after the flood, and all of the people who were on the earth at this time were all of one speech and of one language. And it says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 5, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Now remember that this word, this Hebrew word that was used here, this word imagined, literally means conception. And your imagination is where you conceive things. If you can't see it in your heart, then you won't see it on the outside. You conceive things in your imagination. Your imagination is powerful. And think about this, that the Lord says, "Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." And so He confounded their language so that they wouldn't be able to talk. They wouldn't be able to, find the strength that comes in unity. And He divided them to stop mankind from just going headlong. I mean, if the Lord hadn't have done this, it's very possible that thousands and thousands of years ago, people would have been traveling to the moon and all of these things. But notice that He said that all of this would happen, which they have imagined to do. The imagination is so powerful that it actually threatened the plans of God for the human race. And so God had to do something to limit their imagination. Now that is saying quite a bit about your imagination, to think that it's so powerful it could actually threaten the things of God. And actually the imagination is still that powerful, and this is one of the reasons that the things of God are not more dominant in people's lives, is because their imagination now is vain. We have all of the movies and the media type of things that focus our imagination on evil, ungodliness, and because of it, it restricts and restrains what God is able to do. Boy, those are some big statements right there. But your imagination is where you conceive things. You know, here's another scripture, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusteth in him. Did you know that this word mind there is the exact same word that was translated imagination, and it means conception? So I believe that when we're talking about keeping our mind stayed upon the Lord, it's talking about keeping our imagination stayed upon the Lord. That you need to, in your imagination, you need to be picturing the things of God. And see, this is why it is so detrimental to have a media today that uses sexual things, and they are constantly blasting us with these wrong pictures. They are presenting people that are living in unacceptable perversions of sexual type of things, people that are arguing and fighting and killing and all of these things. And this is what is captivating our imagination today, and because of it, it hardens our heart towards God. You know, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm trying to be disciplined in this. I don't think I'm doing very good. But in the New Testament, the counterpart to the Old Testament imagination is one of the words understanding. In the New Testament, this Greek word dianoia, it means deep thought. And it was the same word that was translated imagination over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just turn over and read this. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." That word understanding right there is the Greek word dianoia. It means deep thought. And this exact same word was translated imaginations in Luke chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 51. And it was where Mary was prophesying and saying that the Lord has scattered the evil in the imaginations of their own heart. That's the exact same word. So when it says here that they have their understanding darkened, it's specifically talking about their imagination, which that word, the dianoia, the Greek word, means deep thought. So here's other things that we can do, see, to, I think, help us understand what your imagination is. It's talking about your deep thought, not just surface thoughts, but deep thoughts. As you think in your heart, that's the way that you are, Proverbs 23:7. And that's talking about in your imagination. You've got to get to where your imagination is stayed upon the things of God. You know, here's a testimony to go along with what I'm trying to convey here, that back since I was young in the Lord, I just always felt like I needed to picture. I needed to see the things that I was reading in the Bible. And I remember going out and, marking on a tree 9'5", because that's what I read in a commentary, that that's what they thought how tall Goliath was. And so when I was reading the story of David and Goliath, I went and marked a spot on the tree. And then I bent down some, because the commentaries also say that David was probably 5 foot or less. And I did that so that I could see, kind of get more of a picture on the inside of me of what was going on. And, you know, some people think, well, that's just silly. Why do you have to do all of that? It helps you to picture. It helps you to imagine things. I think I used this illustration recently in one of my teachings, so I won't go through the whole thing. But I was on a tour to Israel. It was a hot day. We stopped in the Valley of Elah where David fought Goliath. And they said, "Does anybody want to get out and walk out here?" And because it was hot, nobody did except me. And I got out. I walked down to this little dry stream that walked through there, that went through there. And I took 5 smooth stones out of that little stream bed, just like David did. And I stood there and I looked around. And you know what? It made the story of David and Goliath just come alive. There was people on this tour to Israel, and they were saying things like, man, the Bible is just so much more real, that it had come alive to them. And they were attributing it to being just some kind of an anointing on being in Israel. And I don't believe that that's it at all. You know what I think it is? When you go there and you see Golgotha, when you see all of these places that you read about in the Bible, you see the Garden Tomb, it helps your imagination to be able to picture it better, and it helps you to understand it. Again, this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says, they have their understanding darkened. And that same word was translated imaginations in Luke 1:51. And so your imagination is how you understand. It's how you think. It's how you remember things. You have to be able to picture something before you really get a firm grasp on it. You know, this is the reason that when you read instructions, they might have some print over here and they say, you do this and this and this. Look at figure A, and then you do this and that's figure B. And they have these pictures there because pictures are worth 1,000 words. You can read stuff, but when you see it, all of a sudden you put this together. And once you see how it fits, then you can do it. I know that I built a wooden deck onto our house. And before I built anything, I took a 5-gallon bucket and just turned it upside down. And I sat there and stared at that area where I was going to put a deck in. And I did that for hours at a time. And I would make some little notes and I would sit there and picture, you know, all of the framework for this and the braces underneath the beams. And I would count out how many I needed. And I would sit there and I pictured that thing. I think I built a 3 or 4 level deck, but before I could build it, I had to see it. And Jamie would look out at me sometimes, and I'd just be sitting there looking at this thing, and she'd wonder, what are you doing? I was trying to get my imagination to see it. This is why that we're building buildings right now. And you know, before you build the building, you have to put out a blueprint. You have these detailed drawings. Because you could sit there and tell people, say that it's, you know, 25 feet here and we do this and we do that. But words paint pictures. This is how you communicate. It's how you think. And if you didn't take the right picture from my words, and, you know, some of this is subjective. And sometimes you can say one thing and it means one thing to one person, one thing to another. But when you put down a blueprint and you have this picture and everybody is going from the exact same picture, that's how you build buildings. You have to be able to picture something before you can see it. You have to see it in your heart, in your imagination, before you can see it on the outside. Boy, those are powerful, powerful truths. And if you just understood what I've talked about right here and took this to heart, did you know it really ought to change the way most of us spend our time? Instead of putting things in front of us that we don't want to picture, instead of watching movies and TV shows and reading magazines with sexual content or something that are against your Christian morals and values, and yet you watch people lie and steal and commit adultery and do all of these things, instead of putting that stuff in front of you, you know what? You can't be tempted with something that you haven't already seen. So you shouldn't ever think there. You should never go there in your imagination. But so many Christians will sit there and watch and think and read the exact same things that people that don't know Jesus do, and then you wonder why you're tempted with the same things. It's because you've had it pictured to you. It's in your imagination. If you can't imagine it, you can't retain it. Do you know most of Satan's temptation would be just like water off a duck's back if we didn't allow these images, these thoughts to come that paint images, if we would just refuse to go there? Then you can't be tempted with it. You know, I remember one time going back to a high school reunion, and I met some of the girls that, you know, I don't think I ever dated them as such, but, you know, we were friends, and when you're kids in high school, you know, it's flirting, I guess, or whatever you call it. And anyway, I met some of those people like 20 and 30 years after I graduated from high school, and Jamie wasn't with me. I was by myself. And I met some of these old girls. And, you know, after I'd seen them at this high school reunion, I remember at the hotel that night thinking, I wonder what would have happened if I would have married this person instead of marrying Jamie. And I began to start thinking about that. I couldn't tell you for how long, but I bet you it was less than 10 seconds. I bet you it wasn't. Maybe it might have been 15 seconds or something. But within just seconds, I thought, where is this going? What possible benefit could this be to me? All I could see is that this might make me, you know, think that maybe I'd have been better off if I'd have married somebody else other than Jamie, which is a totally unfair comparison and stuff like this. I mean, it's just, it's stupid is what it was. But anyway, I caught myself beginning to think that way. And within just seconds, I said, I'm not going there. I'm not going to think this. I am not going to let this paint a picture on the inside of me that my life with somebody else might have been better than my life with Jamie. And I just immediately stopped it, started praying in tongues and countering that stuff. But I know from talking to other people that there are a lot of people that do stuff like that. They see somebody and they get to imagining, I wonder what would have happened if I'd have done this. I wonder if I'd have had this job. I wonder if I'd have married this person. And you start thinking that way and you start contemplating divorce and you start thinking about remarrying and maybe it'd be better off over here. And you know what? If you think it and if you think on it enough that it paints a picture on the inside of you, then you can be tempted with it. But you can't be tempted with something that you can't picture in your imagination. You know, one of the classic examples of this is that when I was a kid, I was raised in a very conservative family in the South in Arlington, Texas. And I was born again when I was 8 years old. And I'm sure I heard about homosexuality, adultery, prostitution, dope, and alcohol and all of those kind of things. But none of that was for me. And so I never thought about it. I never pictured it. I didn't get into that. And after I had received this experience with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968, right after that, I went on a trip to Europe. And the very first night, we stopped in New York City. And I was with a group of guys. And we were walking the streets of New York City. And I was seeing things that this little country hick from Texas had never seen before. And again, I walked down alleys and witnessed the gangs. And you know, I'd heard about this stuff. I'd heard the testimony of Nikki Cruz, but it wasn't for me and I didn't think on it and I hadn't seen it. I hadn't imagined it. And there was absolutely zero fear. I'd walk down alleys and I'd see a whole group of guys, you know, dressed in a certain way and all this stuff, and instead of having fear, I'd just go up and pass them all out tracts and preach to them, and they'd just all leave. I went down 42nd Street and Broadway, and I mean, there must have been 100 prostitutes lined up against this wall, and I just thought, what a great opportunity, and I went down the road passing them all out tracts and witnessed to them, cleared out the whole line of prostitutes, and I had a guy come up to me and try and sell me one of his girls, a pimp. And he tried to sell this girl to me, and he was using the street vernacular, and I'd never talked that way. And I never did figure out what he was talking about. And I just kept saying, what? And finally, I remember this guy just walking off. He threw up his hands like this and walked off shaking his hands, head like, what rock did this guy crawl out from under? And when I went back to my hotel, I told the guys that I was rooming with what he had said, and they had to explain to me that he was trying to get me to buy one of his prostitutes. But here's my point in telling all of this. You know what? I wasn't even the least bit tempted. I didn't have to say, oh, Jesus, help me to remain faithful and help me to resist. I wasn't tempted because I never understood what he was saying. I never had pictured that. I had never watched any of this stuff on TV and ungodliness. I hadn't, with my mind, fantasized about it. I hadn't ever been into pornography. And because I couldn't picture it, it was zero temptation to me. If you are being tempted and it seems like it's hard for you to resist, I can guarantee you, you can either sit there and complain about how strong the temptation is, or you could just back it up to where you conceived this temptation. Remember that the definition of this word, imagination, it means conception. In your imagination is where you conceive the lust and the desire. And that's where it started. And here you are, nearly to give birth to this thing, and you don't want the birth. You don't want to go out and sin. You don't want to do this, but you didn't do anything to stop the conception. You've allowed your imagination to go places that it should never go. And I'm telling you, if you really want to live a godly life, and if you want to quit doing stupid things that hurt you and hurt the people that you love and hurt other people, and if you want to quit living a life of sin, don't focus on just the action, but back it up to the conception. Back it up to your imagination. I can guarantee you, if you are struggling with sin over here, your imagination has been conceiving things that it shouldn't have ever conceived. You need to unplug from this world system that is just parading all of this sin and all of this ungodliness in front of us, and you need to quit imagining and focusing on that. You know, there's a television show. I don't watch very many television shows, but my wife was watching something. I got to watching this, and I have watched one television show on a fairly regular basis, and last year they came out with their token homosexual. And then it turns out that one of the leading actors in the thing is a homosexual, and they are just beginning to slip more and more of this stuff in. And you know what? I've just made a decision that even though overall I like it, there are some really good things in there, but you know what? Overall, I'm just not going to set something like this and emulate and get to where I enjoy watching people promote homosexuality, which is an abomination in the sight of God. I know that there are many of you that think I'm narrow-minded, and I am. And because of it, I'm so focused on the things of God that I've seen my son raised from the dead. I've seen great miracles happen. I'm seeing God bless me hand over fist. And many of you aren't that focused on God, and as a result, you're sick, you're poor, you're angry, you're bitter, you don't have any hope. And you know what? You can live that way. God loves you, and you can still go to heaven. Matter of fact, you can get there quicker. Because you aren't going to be able to fight against all of the things. Satan will kill you of something. You don't have to be a fanatic the way I am, but I would recommend it. And I'm telling you that I am not even tempted with many of the things that you are tempted with because I don't let my mind go there. I don't let something paint a picture in front of me that I don't want. I don't think thoughts that think pictures that paint pictures in front of me of things that I don't want. I've come to realize the power of imagination. And once you begin to imagine something, you've conceived it. You're going to have a miscarriage or an abortion along the way to keep from giving birth to that thing. It's so much easier to just never conceive it. Don't let your thoughts go that way. And I know many of you are thinking, you can't live that way in our day and age. Well, you can. You don't have to pay $100 a month to have pornography and ungodliness and stuff piped into your home. You don't have to do that. You don't have to live the lifestyle that many of us have embraced. And I'm telling you that you can affect things. You need to understand how important your imagination is. This is what I've started talking about because your imagination relates to hope. I believe that a hope is nothing but a positive imagination versus imagination as a whole is nearly always speaking about bad imaginations in Scripture. It's criticized and put down. But when it's spoken of in a positive light, that's what the Bible calls hope.
I had grown up with God puts us through things to make us stronger people. You get healed if it's God's will. And if you don't get healed, then He wants you to go through it.
Listening to things that people said, like, you know, God's trying to teach you something. He doesn't heal everybody. He heals some people.
I heard people talking at church about, you know, God had a different plan and God made me sick.
The way I was raised, God would get you.
I felt like God had punished me.
The church I grew up in was big on just performance.
I was such a law-based, legalistic person and didn't even know it.
Really devastated with legalism.
I was operating in a law mindset. I had a law perspective.
Always being focused on the law.
Deep into religion.
I grew up in church.
I was raised in church.
A denomination that was very legalistic.
I came from a Baptist background.
I'm come from a Catholic.
I was raised a preacher's kid.
I was a missionary kid, grew up on the mission field, taught the Bible my whole life, got saved at 4 years old.
And I had been in and out of church since I was 5 years old.
I was saved when I was 8, and I was saved just to stay out of hell.
Saved and stuck.
Until we heard about Andrew Womack, and he began to explain.
And Andrew just countered all of that with the Bible.
No one had ever explained those scriptures so beautifully.
It's just made me over on the inside. I'm totally different. I'm a different person.
And when I finally seen the truth, it was awesome. And it still to this day is just amazing.
His teaching was freeing.
It grabbed my heart because I had never heard that our sins were not imputed to us, not put to our account.
This makes sense. The Bible makes sense to me, and he's ringing true to what I'm reading in the Bible.
She didn't have to perform in order to gain a relationship with God, that he loved you.
It took the religion out of it and made it all about relationship.
And then everything you've studied for your whole life, all of a sudden it comes into sync. It's like, pow.
The Spirit came over and just went, whoop. And it all lined up.
That clicked, and all of a sudden things became so real and so understandable.
And you get this revelation on the inside of you.
And I wept. I sat on the side of the road and I wept.
All of a sudden, the Bible made sense.
And now I live in the blessings of God.
My life just changed, and it changed for the better.
Life has just gotten better and better.
Life is good when you have hope.
And God is just good.
We have a life now that we've never had before in every area.
What I found was victory, where we didn't have any before.
I really am grateful that he submitted to the Lord, because I'm reaping the results of it.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Power of Hope was recorded live at a recent conference. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, What is Hope? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Christian Philosophy for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of January, he'll be in Humboldt, Houston, and San Antonio, Texas. In February, he'll be in Santa Clara, Anaheim, and Pasadena, California. And in March, he'll be in Overland Park and Wichita, Kansas, Norman, Oklahoma, and Colorado Springs, Colorado. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.